Hello, I'm Mark DeLuzio. Over the past century, our constitutional republic, grounded in the rule of law, has been transformed into a tyrannical democracy, orchestrated by unelected bureaucrats and globalists. The Constitution is now treated as a suggestion, not the law of the land. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God.
Hi, I'm Mark's co-host, Suzette Lawrence. Our intention is to explore the Constitution and discuss how our freedoms and constitutional rights are violated by those very politicians who took an oath on the Bible to uphold it. Learn how the Constitution is the solution to our country's problems. What do we need to do to restore our inalienable and enumerated rights? Class begins now.
Hi, Mark DeLuzio and Suzette Lawrence. Suzette, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. I'm excited about the topic today.
Well, I'm not excited about it because I'm really depressed by it, Suzette. This is episode 20, and I'm calling this one, Suzette, We're at War. We being the U.S., okay? We're at war. And this is a little bit of a playoff of some previous episodes when we talk about the military-industrial complex, okay? When we talked about the branches of government in the Article 1, in the enumerated powers of Congress, Article 1, Section 8, which talks about the 17 or 18, I can't remember, enumerated powers. And this is all about war. And if you look at what's going on today, Suzette, we are at war. Now, people say, no, we're not. We're not at war because Congress didn't declare war. Well, let's just go back again to Article 1, Section 8, where one of these enumerated powers says as follows: Congress shall have the power to declare war. And that's it. I mean, you can't, if you can misinterpret that, then good luck, okay? You need to get some remedial education on reading. Congress shall have the power to declare war. The Founding Fathers, Suzette, did not want the power of going to war under any one individual. Okay. They wanted this to be a representative government, which was Congress, that can only declare war. Okay. So the president can come to you, to the Congress, and say, hey, look, I think we need to go to war, just like Lyndon Johnson did with Vietnam, although he lied to Congress about the Bay of Tonkin. And George Bush, I got to argue, lied, and Colin Powell, to Congress about Iraq. Okay, and so forth and so on.
Mark, not to interrupt you, but just to say this, if you were in Congress, because I know you ran, if you were in Congress and the president came to you and said, we need to, or came to the Congress and said, we need to, you know, wage war against country X, don't you think it would make sense to get boots on the ground in country X and find out what was really going on? If we had a free press, which we're supposed to have, it falls into that freedom of speech. If we had a free press, what's the first thing the press would do? You would have reporters on the ground in country X, Y, or Z, like reporting on what was going on there. And we do have reporters in all over the world that are reporting on this. But because the censorship is so tight, their reports don't come through.
Well, then it goes back to whether or not you can trust the press, because, you know, the military industrial complex is very deep. There's a lot of money being changing hands out there, and do not for one minute think that's not part of it. And you got to remember.
I'm thinking independent. When I say the press, I'm talking independent media. I think everybody this point understands that the press that we were raised with and believed are propaganda outlets for whoever owns them, you know, whatever deep state.
To answer your question, I would first want to understand what our national interests are. And have we exterminated all other options like diplomacy, sanctions, although I argue sometimes sanctions are just factored into the math and they don't work. But anyway, I would want to understand the situation and what has transpired. and what we could have done differently and what we could do differently before we put men and women in harm's way.
Absolutely.
You know, going to war is a big deal.
And can we afford it?
Well, that's the other thing, you know, and so
war's expensive.
There's a lot of factors that go into that, mm-hmm. right? But here's my problem. Okay, so we know Article 1, Section 8 says Congress can only declare war. And again, the Founding Fathers did not want to place that decision in any one individual. So they gave it to Congress and they had a vote on it. Okay, and again, with our representative government, Congress represents us, the people, supposedly anyway. So okay, fine. Now we've gone to war, although we didn't call it war. And the one I love to cite all the time is Korea. In the early 50s, Truman sent our troops to Korea with a police action. Okay. A police action. 37,000 body bags later, Suzette, that police action cost us. Okay. So if you think about, you know, what this is all about. So in the early 70s, and Nixon vetoed this bill, but we passed the War Powers Act that basically said you have to come to Congress first. And the Constitution already said, I don't know why the War Powers Act. It was a political stunt, I think. We didn't need it because we already had the Constitution. Okay. But let's talk about today. We are now in war, okay, in Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and arguably Ukraine. Okay, at least
and
those four.
Syria. Don't forget Syria.
And Syria. Sorry. Now, I hear these commentators, and I hear these congressmen, and I hear these political policy wonks making the following statement. Well, we're not really at war. This really isn't a war. It isn't. Okay. And they make the insane argument that says, well, we're really going after these rebels in Iraq, or we're really going after these rebels in Syria or whatever. And so I guess you can argue that Germany wasn't a war either, because there were innocent people there and we were only going after the rebels, in this case, the Nazis. Okay. How could you be attacking a country and not call it war? Well, now, to me, the record, the journal of record is Webster's 1828 dictionary. Webster wrote this dictionary in 1828 because he knew that words did matter. Words mattered. And that we are going to need to revisit the language that they use in the Constitution, because he had an intuition, he was right, that the meanings of these words are going to change. Now, I'm going in a big battle right now with people up in Connecticut in my hometown of Glastonbury, where they're teaching kids in the high school up there in Glastonbury, Connecticut, who, you know, they pat themselves on the back that this is one of the greatest schools in the country. My kids went there. Laura Ingram went to Glastonbury High School, by the way. Okay. And they are not teaching the definition that we're a republic. They're teaching the kids we're a democracy. Now, we had a whole episode on democracy and republic. Democracy is mob rule, majority rule, and the founders wanted to be against that relative to the republic we set up, where we're a representative government. So I'm arguing all the time, and I went back to Webster's dictionary and talked about what a republic was. And in his dictionary, Webster wrote, different than a democracy, from the respect that, boom, boom, boom. So that's the journal of record. Okay, now, let's talk about war. Let's talk about what Webster in 1828 said about war. By the way, I have a copy of that dictionary. The nerd I am, I asked for it for Christmas, and Diane got it for me. Okay. You would not believe the volume and how small the print is and how thick the pages are and how thick the book is. And he did that, Suzette, without the internet. This guy was brilliant. He was brilliant. Okay. I mean, first of all, where did he come up with all those words? My vocabulary would probably fill about three pages. Okay.
There were no distractions. Some of these people, I mean, they didn't have the radio. You know, their newspaper showed up once a week. If they had a newspaper, you know, they read books. You know, they had discussions.
They did. They were well read. They were very
they
probably
were
the more.
Very...
They were probably more well read than any other point in our history. And I've been to Noah Webster's house in West Hartford, Connecticut, and his original dictionary is laying right there under glass. Kind of neat. He's got a little cape on South Main Street in Glastonbury, Connecticut. I mean, in West Hartford, Connecticut, and kind of neat to go to, you know. But anyway, let's read about what Noah said about war. A contest between nations or states carried on by force, either for defense or for revenging insults and redressing wrongs. Now, Biden used the excuse that a couple of our guys got killed over there in Jordan, and there's a whole mess about where they were and what Jordan said, what everybody else said. Not to really get into that as much. You got to argue, okay, if he's going to, you had three of our soldiers killed, and that's the reason he's going to war over there, then you got to argue, why the heck didn't he attack the Taliban when they killed 13 of our troops when he pulled out? That was unbelievably egregious. So they use excuses all the time to go to war because of the military-industrial complex. So we've got wars going on all over the place right now. And I really do believe, Suzette, that we are in World War III right now. Okay. History will look back on this because this is only going to escalate.
I agree. Look what's happening. You know, President Biden recently thought that we had reason to attack, I believe, either Iran or North Korea. I'm not sure. Because they were selling drones or some kind of weapon to the Russians. And I thought, what are you talking about? We're funding the war in Ukraine. We're funding the Israelis to the tune. I mean, the Israelis get $4 billion a year. Just that's their allowance, if you will. And they're not buying, you know, they're buying weapons. You know, they're using our weapons to annihilate a race right now. And the Ukrainians, you know, the Ukrainians are using our weapons to fight the Russians and their ongoing civil war, which with the people in the eastern part of the country, which is why they had a referendum, why the people in the eastern Ukraine had a referendum and said, we want to belong to Russia, because the people in the western part of the country were bombing them. And they were bombing them with our stuff. We had been over there. We've been over there since, for decades, training them.
Yeah, that you don't know about. That's right.
They're not supposed to know about. Yeah, we're not supposed to know. This is some big secret. Well, it's no big secret. They're out there. There are people on the ground that are seeing this and recording it and experiencing the devastation of these wars. So, yeah, what makes you complicit in participating in a war is, you know, if you're the drug dealer and you don't use the drugs, but you give them or sell them to the children, are you responsible? Of course you are. Anyway, yeah, so that's this whole war double talk so that the donors can make money, you know, the people that are making, that are the military industrial complex, if you will, you know, that are making all this money, that we're reassured that 85% of the money that we're giving to Ukraine is actually staying in country. And, you know,
staying in somebody's pocket, like a guy named Zelensky.
Lots of money laundering. So there's a big money incentive to do it. And then whatever the individual, and this is where it gets bad when we come back to the Constitution, where an individual cannot declare war. And the reason is, if you've got a bone to pick with someone or a country, and that would appear to be the case, you know, everybody hates Russia, even though very few people have been there and know much about it. I mean, they even banned Russian TV in this country. You know, when they realized it was there, when they realized that Americans could watch, you know, Russia Today, RT, they banned it. So, you know, nobody knows about Russia in general. They hear lots of stories about Soviet Russia and the Soviet bloc, not Russia, but the whole entire Soviet bloc. But they want to be at war with Russia. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why would you want to go to war with Russia? And if you don't have a good reason, maybe that's why they pretend that they're not at war when they are.
Well, look, the government has been had a history. First of all, we redefine what a vaccine is. We redefine what a Biden redefined what a recession was. I got taught in economics school, in my economics classes in college, that a recession was 2 consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. Well, that's not according to Biden. Biden has a different definition. So the fact that they can redefine what war is, come on, I mean. They're a lot smarter than you or me, right? And they know better.
We're
So,
behind the times. We're not modern people or
come
postmodern
on.
people, you know.
Well, by the way, I'll ask the listeners to go back to episode 9, Suzette, the military industrial complex. We talk all about this and the Constitution. But what I want to bring out here is that we're at war with these countries right now. The commentators, the politicians are all saying, well, we're not really at war because, and they give their inane reasons. But I go back to Webster's Dictionary that I just read, 1828. It's funny, when I got in an argument the other day with about the Republic, a guy pulled out the Webster-Merriam Dictionary, and I'm like, okay, you totally missed the point here, buddy. Okay, this is the dictionary of record. Now, I took the opportunity to write my congressman, David Schweiker,
Excellent.
in the first district of Arizona. He has Scottsdale and Fountain Hills. And I know I've met him a couple of times. And in my note to him, I said, I would like to have a phone call and discuss this. Okay. About 3 weeks later, I got a letter back. And it was a form letter telling me about this and that and Ukraine and this spending and military. Blah, 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 blah. It had nothing to do with what I wrote about. I specifically said, nobody is screaming at the top of their lungs in Congress, or the Senate for that matter, but Congress in particular, that says the president took our country and our troops to war, whether it be aircraft, on the ground, whatever. And you darn well too, Suzette, that whatever they tell you, you got to multiply a factor by about 50. What's really going on? Okay, just like when Johnson sent people into Cambodia, he didn't have the authorization to do that, but he did it. Matter of fact, I just met a guy the other day who was selling hot dogs, and he had a military hat on. I said, "Hey, from Vietnam, right?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Actually, Cambodia." I go, "Oh, did you have trouble getting benefits?" You know what he said to me? He said, "You know the game, don't you?" Yeah, because you weren't supposed to be there. And your records got wiped clean, didn't it? And he said, yep, you got it, buddy. You don't believe what I had to go through to fight.
He didn't get benefits.
He finally got him, but he said, you would not believe what I had to go through. Once he said Cambodia, that's what I said to him. He goes, you know the game, don't you? Most people don't know that. And
I didn't
so
know that.
anyway, I don't want to get into that as much as the fact that we were doing stuff without the American people knowing, and Congress is letting this happen. And so my note to David Schweikert was, I want to talk to you about why you're not screaming on top of your lungs that the president is taking our country to war in these countries, and they never came to you. Now, when I was running for Congress, I met with Kevin McCarthy. At the time, he was minority leader, and I went to his big office down in Washington, D.C., at the Capitol, and I had about an hour with him, and he knew I was a Gold Star father. Okay. And by the way, I'm not anti-war. Okay. I am anti war when it's not needed. If we need to defend ourselves or there's a national interest, that's a different game. Okay, so I'm not one of those guys that say never go to war.
And
Okay.
may I add that, in my opinion, national interest doesn't mean corporation X, Y, or Z's business interest in some country.
Exactly
It's
right.
up to them when they go into a country to assess that risk and to take the proper international law steps to protect their business and their business
No, I
interests.
agree with you 100%. And corporate bailouts are bull. Okay.
Anyway, I'm just saying, because
No,
when they
you're
say
right.
our
You're right. I
national
agree.
interest, it turns
I
out that
agree.
it's Company X, you know, like Conoco has their is drilling in Syria, and all of a sudden that's our national interest, but it doesn't have anything to do with my national
No,
interest.
no, no.
Anyway.
And by the way, your buddy Woody Wilson there that you talked about in the last episode, how he lied about the Germans attacking and the
Lusitania.
Missions that were on that ship. Yeah. And so we can get into that. And that's another lie, but he did go to Congress and we declared war on Germany in World War I. Okay. So here we go. How many more dead after that? So here's the thing. Nobody in Congress is defending their Article 1, Section 8 rights of enumerated powers, where Congress can only declare war. And if you're going to continue to redefine war, you know, what all these people do have not done is define what war really is. And to me, it's Webster's Dictionary. That's war. Okay. And so I'm not done with David Schweikert, because I am going to be going and I'll camp out on his doorstep if I have to. But these congressmen are not pushing back. Now, Kevin McCarthy, at the time, I said to him, and he knew I was a Gold Star father, okay? I was running for Congress, and I went there, and I said to him, Kevin, should you become a Speaker of the House, do not let the President, Biden, go to war in Ukraine without coming to you first and getting everybody in Congress on record. I think you're well aware of your Article 1, Section 8 enumerated powers, where you can only declare war. He gave me, Suzette, the dirtiest look. He didn't say a word to me, but his look to me was, who the hell are you to tell me what my job is? Well, I'm your employer, idiot. Okay. First of all, I'm your employer.
Yeah, and eventually he did all get right. run out. Thanks
yeah.
to
yeah, and he deserved to get run out. Yes. He deserved to get run out.
Just
so, but anyway, the next thing I knew, I see him walking around with a Ukraine flag and a Ukraine handkerchief in his pocket, with no U.S. flag on his lapel. Okay, and so I'm saying, okay, let's follow the money on this baby. Okay, something's going on here, right? And then all of a sudden, before you know it, the nation's flying Ukraine flags all over the place. Most people never even knew where Ukraine was on the map until, you know, somebody told them that they should think about this and be and this is your cause celeb now, because we got so much virtue signaling going on in this country, how we're just for the good guys all the time. And I'm going to let you know, Suzette, that I am for Ukraine, and I am a virtuous person because of the flag I'm flying or the pin that I'm wearing on my lapel. That's what's going on today. So most people don't have a clue what's going on over there. And I look at this and I say, you know, geez, you know, this is all about the money. There's no money in peace. As you and I talked about with COVID and everything else, there's no money in a healthy America, and there's no money in a reduced federal government, you know. And so at least no money, not as it relates to the American people, but as it relates to those who are pulling the strings. So
these are very low frequency people. They, you know, we could have the healthiest, smartest, most advanced civilization.
There's no money in that, Suzette.
And we have that in very small pockets,
right,
in this country.
Right.
And we could be attracting the finest people in the world.
Well,
to come to our country, the best artists.
Look,
the best
people
musicians.
Are asleep at the switch. They're asleep at the switch. And they're allowing all of this dissension. They're allowing all this abuse of our freedoms to happen right in front of their very eyes. First of all, they don't understand what our freedoms are and what our rights are. But, you know, when I look at this and I look at the wars that we're going into and the people that get killed, I was at dinner one night with the ex-commander of Fort Campbell, where my son's name is enshrined in the Rockasan Memorial there. Rockasan is the most infamous infantry group in the Army, with a storied history, and part of the 101st Airborne, and also with a Delta Force, ex-Delta Force guy. Now, Delta Force is like the elite of the elite in Special Forces. They take the cream of the crop from all the other Special Forces, from the Navy SEALs, from the from Recon, from the Rangers, from the
Rangers.
Beret.
Yeah, I was going to say the Rangers.
Yep. And this guy was a Delta Force guy. Okay, so I asked him this. The commander told me, in Afghanistan, every time they were about to put the hammer down on the Taliban, Washington pulled them back. Okay. the Delta Force. So I said to the Delta Force guy who was younger, I said, and let me ask you a question. I said, how did President Trump get rid of ISIS so fast? He goes, real simple. I was part of that, he said. I was in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And as a kid growing up, I played video games, he said. And thank God for that, because all I did was I was using the joystick with a drone. We had small special forces on the ground. They call in the coordinates of the ISIS. And we would just play video games and we'd blow them to smithereens with drones. Okay, from North Carolina. Okay. He goes, that's how we got rid of them. I said, he did it in like a few months. He goes, yeah. I said, could we have done that with the Taliban in Afghanistan? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
There's no money in peace, Suzette, and that's what's going on here. So this guy, you know, we know Biden's tied into the globalists. He's tied into the military-industrial complex. And if you don't believe me, just look at the houses the guy owns. And into China. And I am outraged that nobody in Congress is calling this out. And this, hopefully, if you listen to this podcast, please go to the U.S. government site, write your congressman about this. I don't care who they are, but let them know that they're not doing their job.
The funding of wars has got to stop. It just has to, this has to stop. And especially with our southern border, northern border, our borders wide open. I just read a report where Homeland Security, the Biden administration, has flown in over 350,000 illegal people using Homeland Security.
With no passports, no documentation. That's right.
They got a credit, I believe, well, I know this. They got a court date to show up in 2 years. That's what they got.
Well, we already know anybody who's 98% of the people who apply for asylum never show up for the court date. So, you know, and we don't screen them effectively when they come in. But look,
it's crazy. You know, look, it's the destruction of our country. And you're right. We are at war and we have been for some time. And you could define that, you know, as when Americans die and when we are funding the death of other people. You know, and in some cases, absolutely no justification. If there was a justification, then they would go to Congress. But they're sneaky little devils. And it's all about money and power. And compromised the person is, the more compromised the representative is, whether it's the president or the Supreme Court justice or whomever it is, the more compromised they are, the more controlled they are. Ron Paul said years ago when his son was one and was coming to the Senate to represent Kentucky, and Fox was interviewing them, and they said, well, Congressman Paul, what kind of advice can you give to your son? And he said, don't go to any of the parties. That's what just came out of Ron Paul's mouth.
Right.
And you know immediately, you know, if you're the new kid on the block, that and now you're invited to some of these swanky things, you go. Look at Jeffrey Epstein.
I learned how it works when I was running for Congress, talking to people. This is how it goes. It's, Mark, congratulations on your win to the Congress. I've been following your career. You are so inspirational. Some really swanky looking woman, right? You are so inspirational. And you know, I like your opinion on this and I like your opinion on that. Oh, Mark, I would love to have you as my mentor. Before you know it, you know, the guy goes back to his room with her. And this is why Andy Biggs, by the way, never goes to a party or one of those functions without his wife. It's great. It's great. And he says, and all of a sudden, before you know it, the guy sleeps with her. And before you know it, you get a picture in the mail the next day saying, hey, this is going to be made public. Your wife's going to know about it. The press is going to know about it. Unless you vote this way or that way. Okay. And that's what happens. Matt Gaetz talks about this in his book. Okay. And so that's what goes on here. You're absolutely right about these
and
parties.
If you don't play ball, they make shit. Excuse me. They make stuff up. I didn't mean to cuss you guys. I'm sorry. But they just start making horrible stories up and with all kinds of documentation.
Character assassination. Yeah. And with AI now, you can basically put anybody in bed with somebody. It doesn't matter, you know. Anyway. Suzette, I want to stop here and just say, you know, this is frustrating to me, how we let this happen, how we let one of the most obvious parts of our Constitution go by the wayside time after time. And everybody's sitting there fat, dumb, and happy with everything that's going on, you know? And so I'll stop there. But, you know, again, go back to Webster's Dictionary if you're ever concerned about a definition that we're using in our founding documents. And you'll get the right answer. Okay, this is why Noah wrote this book. Okay, this dictionary. So,
words matter.
Words matter, and that is one of our earlier episodes with Christy. It was one of the earlier ones, which is episode 4. So you might want to check that one out as well.
Okay.
If you're listening, you know, words matter, and I think we're going to need a words matter 2 someday down the line with you and me on this. So anyway, let's call it right there. I will continue to update the listeners on my interactive dialogue with my Congressman David Schweikert, who is not the most honest guy in the world. He got sanctioned by the Congress quite a few years ago for mishandling of funds, but people still voted him in. So what can I tell you? Anyway,
nah.
So, and by the way, he's a Republican. Okay, so
what?
Anyway. So what? Right.
Doesn't seem to matter much these days.
No, it doesn't.
Mark, thanks for bringing this up. It's a big topic, and it's the state of where we are right now. It's really, really important.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And looking forward for future episodes, Suzette. I think somewhere down the line you're going to do part 2 of Woody Wilson, my buddy Woody. Okay,
I'll
and then sooner or later we're going to get into FDR too. Okay, and
if you want, I'll do Woody next time, part 2.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that.
Okay,
this was episode 20. It's called War at War. All right, and hopefully you'll write your congressman and demand that the president comes to Congress with declarations of war, and then get every single member of Congress on record to vote for this. It's easy to say something. When you have to put your name down and vote, it's a whole different game, right? So Suzette, God bless you. God bless America. Suzette from Sedona, Arizona. Beautiful place if you haven't been there. It's not too far from me, really. It's only, what, hour and a half, less than 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. And it's a great state. We're trying to save it. We're trying to save the country. And we'll see you next time, Suzette. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we hold that strict adherence to the Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems.
You can find other episodes on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other platforms. We're your hosts, Mark DeLuzio and Suzette Lawrence. Until next time, may God bless you and may God bless America.